Don't touch that dial. Stay a while and listen to the great things that God is doing in the world today.
So now this guy that didn't believe in healing is now praying for people to be healed. That's crazy. It's awesome. They're saying, oh, I wish he was back. Well, I'm a Christian. I can pray for you. Okay, so now he's got people ready for him to pray for every time he goes to these places. And he didn't believe in healing. You've got to believe that regardless of the people, regardless of how they're treating you or how they're acting when you're there, you've got to believe that the seed that you leave has the power to reproduce after its own kind.
And here's your host, Jim Rohn.
Praise God, it is another beautiful day. Jesus is back, healing Muslims in Jerusalem? Part two. And here is our teacher today. We're going to jump right into one of his sessions at the School of Power and Love, Todd White.
This top Muslim guard. And I wasn't trying to see. I'm right and you're wrong. I believe the Holy Ghost is a big boy. And he's able to like water that thing. I don't believe there's any way out, really. Like some Christian man was in the dome and prayed for me on the way across. And my knee for a long time has hurt and have no cartilage. Now I got brand new squishy stuff. And he told me about Jesus. And this is crazy. And I just told him, I just love you, man. Can I hug you? I'm a Christian. Come on. Gave him a big hug, told him I love him. He's like, I love you. It was crazy, man. So we're walking out. He takes us outside the gate. We go outside the gate and we walked out there. And I saw this man standing and had a white garb, sitting. He had a white garb and he had a cane with him. And I was like, remember when I told you that thing where I can see something? I can't say I see it, but I can sense it. I don't know, man. I want to grow in it. Whatever it is, I want it. I'm like, God, because it's all mine. Everything in the Spirit's mine. I'm not limited. I can do all things. I want this thing. And I'm starting to grow in it. And I'm like, God, I don't know what this is, but I really want it. Really bad. And I'm not stopping. So you give it to me or kill me, because I'm going after this thing. I'm serious, man. This is crazy. So I look at this guy and I go, I got to pray for this guy. And the one guy grabs my arm and he goes, no. And there are police all there. And I went, dude, he's hurting. I said, I got to pray for him. So the Muslims tell me, no, come. So I'm like, okay, this is crazy. So I go down, we go down this maze, because inside of Jerusalem, there's this maze of like homes inside in these bunkers, like all over, like all the people live somewhere. And they're all tucked in these bunkers, like one on top of each other, everywhere. It's crazy. It's like Swiss cheese in there. Serious, because you don't see it. You just see the markets. You see these streets that you go by. But inside there's these bunker houses everywhere. I was like, this is amazing. So they take us into the African Muslim quarter that is where it's just the African Muslims. So they take us into this house. These Muslims, like, bring me into their house. They're like, come, sit down. Yeah, here, you must have some of this. So they would give you stuff to drink and eat and sit there talking with these Muslims, just like having an amazing time filming in their house. It was crazy. So all of a sudden this guy in white comes walking in to the house we're at. I went, oh my gosh, that's the guy. He's like, yes. And I went, I need to pray for him. He goes, hold on. So he comes in, he sits down. In 2002, when the thing happened over there, his son was throwing stones around the mosque and a soldier shot him in the face and killed him, right in front of his dad. So the man made a pact with Allah to never speak American again. He swore against America, against Bush, you know. And I'm sitting there. And I gotta pray for this guy. I gotta. Whether I get killed, I gotta. Because I'm never gonna die. But I'm inside of this house and it's intense. This guy's like, and he's telling this guy in Hebrew, but he can understand my American. He can understand my English. American, yeah. He can understand my English perfectly. So I'm talking to him and he talked to him and then he talked to me. And it's just weird because he speaks English, but he won't talk to me. So I'm like, so you can understand everything I'm saying. And he'd speak in Hebrew to this guy, and then he'd relay it to me. And I'm like, this is crazy. And I said, I just want to tell you that I repent on behalf of America, and I'm sorry. And I like had tears in my eyes, and I love you, man. I'm like, no, it wasn't you. You know, and the Hebrew comes, you know. I'm like, it's crazy. I'm sorry about your son. You know, I'm sorry. And then he just looked at me and I said, yeah. I said, I have to pray for you. And he nods his head, yes. He lets me, listen to me. This man swore against Bush, swore against it, made a pact with Allah to never speak English again. It was an intense situation. And he had a stroke. And his whole left side is not working. And so I said, so I knelt down in front of him and I said, I've got to pray for you right now. I need to put my hand on your chest. And he looks at me like this, and I put my hand on his chest and I prayed that he would get delivered from this thing right now. Not just the stroke, but the lie. But the thing that watching his boy get shot right in front of his face. And God went, wham! Went right through him, and he looked at me. They got it on camera. And he looked at me and he spoke to me in perfect English. Listen, it was absolutely crazy. See, I don't think we understand what love can do. See, because I don't have a motive. I didn't go in there to try to get him to pray my prayer. I didn't go in there to try to get the Muslim nation saved in there. That's great. But what about love? Where's love at? What, you know, no, the Christians don't even talk to Muslims when they go through there. They don't even talk to him. When I was talking to him, they were freaked out by me talking to him. And then they try to debate me. And if a Christian does talk to him, they debate with him. And then they end up leaving because they're overpowered because there's too many. What if you just walked there and you were loved? What if people, when they mocked you, what if you got a word of knowledge and prophetic words about them and you turn around and heal them in the midst of their mocking? What if it didn't matter what people said to you? What if you were so influenced by the love of God? What if you were really compelled by love, like 2 Corinthians talk about? The love of Christ compels us. What if we're pressed in on every side by love? What if we're possessed by the heart of God? What if we don't have anything against anybody? What if we just want to be loved? What if that's what we want to do? What if that's who we're supposed to be? What if we're not supposed to be evangelists that have to talk people into praying our prayer? What if we could just be Christians a while? We've boiled this thing down. We've made evangelism an office. And that's great that it is, but it's not a formula. It's not a four, get to these four bases and then go for the kill. It's none of that stuff. It's becoming love so that people want what we have. It's about the passionate heart cry of God that Jesus walked and they wanted to be around him. He was amazing. Come on. This is crazy good. We can love people for a living. You can be at your workplace and the people around you can get rocked by the heart of God in you. They can get moved by Christ in you. They don't even know what you're carrying, but you're packing. And you're not like trying to like corner them into believing your way. Evangelism has become manipulation. Where we're manipulating, maneuvering people into a corner to pray our prayer and believe our way, to point out their fault and their need for what we got. Like we're some top breed. We are, but not like that. You don't make people like this so you can look like this and you need to come and have what I have. The Bible says that you regard everybody as more than you, as greater than you. Philippians 2 says that everybody is greater than us. Come on, the apostle, and we say the apostle, boy, apostle this, apostle that. They're supposed to be the least of everything. Come on, the higher in the kingdom is the lower you go. I'm learning that. It's amazing. And it's all through love, and it's all Christ. He humbled himself, became like us. Humble, became a bondservant, humbled himself, became just like us. It's crazy. So this Muslim is looking at me, and I'm looking at him, and I'm like, check it, all of his feelings coming back in his hand and his leg. And I said, man, I said, can I sing a song? He's like, yes. I said, awesome. I'm in the Muslim quarter of Jerusalem, letting it rip, dude. Letting it rip, man. It echoed. Kids were coming out of their houses, coming down. People were like, Jesus! And it was awesome. And people were like, And they'd come in and I'd get a prophetic word or word of knowledge and share the reality of who we really are and pray for them. And God would heal them. And all the kids were coming up to me looking at my hair going like this. It was awesome. We were having a field day with love. It was crazy. I am not a special case. I'm a son. I am not someone special where look at Dan, look at Todd, look at that. I want to go to Israel. I want to do this. Man, you can. Do you know, I've been there the first time someone sent me. I didn't even plan it. Someone said, I heard in my heart I'm supposed to send you. So the last time I went, someone sent me. And then this happened. But I'm not like, man, what about being a Christian where you are? What about like being amazing on your work site? What about being amazing on your job? What about not being intimidated, not being influenced by anything else but the love of God in you? And you start to see people that are the creative value. And all of a sudden your boss wants to reproduce you. Your boss is like, I don't really believe what you believe, but I know you do good work. And I wish I had 10 more just like you. I heard that when I worked. Why? Because I'm not working for him. I'm working for the man. I want to glorify Jesus, man. Come on. My work sites. Do you know I talked to Uncle Dave? Is this uncle? Is he your uncle? Of Good Time Mice. And there was a guy there that did not believe in healing. Like, and he went to some church around here. And he was one of the delivery guys. And he goes on the routes that I did. How long ago was that? When I was at the ice company. 4 years ago. 4 years ago. And the people are still asking for prayer on all the routes that I did. So now this guy that didn't believe in healing is now praying for people to be healed. That's crazy. It's awesome. They're saying, oh, I wish he was back. Well, I'm a Christian. I can pray for you. Okay, so now he's got people ready for him to pray for every time he goes to these places. And he didn't believe in healing. You've got to believe that regardless of the people, regardless of how they're treating you or how they're acting when you're there, you've got to believe that the seed that you leave has the power to reproduce after its own kind. You've got to believe that. Somewhere along, we've got to grab this thing. It's, well, I'm not going to be able to lead them to a church. I'm not going to be able to. No, no, no. You walk out Jesus so that they got to get this thing. Even if they're not believers. Doesn't matter. They will be. Just claim them for the kingdom. Come on. All right. So much other stuff happened, but one more thing I want to share that happened today. You hear today thing? It was really good. So we had that flood and stuff, and my well got messed up, and it just all mud coming through the sink, you know, all that stuff. Well, I've got like Culligan, because we had to get it in the beginning of getting our house. And so the first time the Culligan man came into my house was, when did we, 2 years ago. Because we had to get this water. Remember that crazy, the water test? Like our water, it was just all, life is a testimony. So it was just crazy stuff. I love it when God, I don't care what it is. If God shows up, it's amazing. And he always shows up, so everything's always amazing. It's crazy. So this guy comes to sell us our Culligan water thing, and we needed it 2 years ago. So his name was Scott, and we needed the water system. So I'm like, dude, you don't have to do the sale thing. I need it. So you don't have to pitch anything. Just put this thing in. You don't, what do you mean? Look, we got to get a water system, and you're the guy, so let's do it. And then we just need a drinking thing too, like a reverse osmosis thing. He's like, okay, hey, cool. So he's walking, and I said, dude, you got some serious issues with your back, man. It's all messed up. He goes, how can you tell, man? I said, the Lord just spoke to me and told me. He's in my house, and he's like, the Lord. I said, absolutely. He's like, so why would he tell you that? I said, so I can pray for you and you can be healed. He's like, okay. I'm like, you a believer? He's, no. Cool. Can I pray for you? Yeah, if you want to. Prayed for him. God gives him 2 brand new discs. Heals him. So this is 2 years ago, right? So on his way out, he goes, hey, I got a question for you. My wife has a disease that's terminal that one day she's going to die from, and she's in pain, and this is the bed. And I said, we can pray for her. God will heal her right now. So he's like, okay. So we prayed. 3 months later, they come to my house. Remember, they pulled up in the driveway. And she's crying because she's healed. She got healed that day, but waited a little while to see, you know. So she comes up, and we just want to thank you. I don't even know where they live. They live far away, like an hour and a half from us. They just drove down to say thank you, which was really awesome. I said, Jesus really loves you, man. He's like, yeah, he does. So today I had to have the Culligan guy come out because we need filters and everything. So Scott comes to my house today, and He's up at the sink switching the filters. And he goes, man, this is a really nice house. And I said, you want to hear the story about it? And he's like, yeah. So I shared the whole trailer to the house story. Pumpkin into a, you know. I shared the reality of what God did. Because God, we still owe a mortgage and everything, just like anybody else. But the circumstances that, it's amazing what God did, all right? So he's like, wow, that's pretty awesome. He goes, so what do you do? I said, I preach the gospel, man. He said, I'm an associate pastor. I said, oh, that's awesome. So nice to meet you. Well, he's an associate pastor of a Baptist church in the area. And I said to him, I said, man, that's awesome, man. It's so nice to meet you. He goes, that's a really good story that you have. I said, yeah. I said, it gets more intense. And so I start sharing with him about Israel a little bit and the Muslims. And he's like, wow. And then I start sharing with him. I said, well, can I? People sometimes get freaked out by what I believe. He goes, what do you believe? I said, I believe the Bible, man. I said, the Bible says to pray, lay hands on sick people and they get healed. And I believe it. And I said, you've got like a disc in your neck that's messed up, two in your back that's messed up, sciatic nerve damage down your one leg. It happened when you were little and played soccer. And he said, how do you know that? I said, well, your Bible and my Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12 that there are gifts of the Spirit. And it talks about these gifts and it's a word of knowledge. And I said, the Bible also says that God never sends his word without producing fruit. It always produces fruit, never returns void. So that's God's word and it's not going to return void. I said, sit in the chair. He goes, oh, he goes, listen, my manager, he told me I'm only going to be allowed here for 45 minutes. I said, this is going to take 10 seconds, man. And he's like, no, I really can't. I'm on the job. And he's a pastor. I said, you got to be kidding me, dude. I said, you're in my house, bro. And I wasn't being mean, but I was being real. I said, you're in my house. You're a Christian. I said, give me your hand. And so he gives me his hand, and I'm holding on to it. He's trying to pull away from me. I'm not being mean, and I'm not trying to be overbearing, but he's in my house. I got a word of knowledge. He's not getting out of my place without being healed. And I wasn't being mean, but this is real. It really has happened. My wife's in there and sleeping. I told her, I said, Culligan man's out here. Don't come out until, you know, you're ready, dressed and everything. Because she was taking a nap with Zoe or with Briley. So I'm like, yeah. I said, okay, dude. I said, check your neck. He goes, I got to go outside. I said, all right, man. I said, I'll be here. So he goes outside to the truck and gets some stuff. He comes back in and I'm sharing with him. And he's like, yeah. So anyway, and he change the subject a little bit, and I just bring it right back to, how's your neck, you know, and it's your back, and just totally freaked out, like totally freaked out. He goes, hey, would you be interested in maybe speaking to the kids sometime up at our church? And wouldn't that be neat? And I said, yeah, sure, man, this would be awesome. Kids love Jesus. He's like, yeah, this is really awesome. I said, man, it's a real privilege to meet you today. Isn't that amazing? God healed your back and your neck. You know, I said, sometimes we believe that God allows this and God allows that. And I shared a little bit about Job with him and shared a different perspective about people loving their own life. And he's like, wow, I never thought about it like that. And I said, you know, there's another place where it says, if you pray and lay hands on the sick hastily, it's not good. He's like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And I said, you know, a lot of people have been taught that about healing. That you pray, lay hands on people hastily, and be careful if you want to pray for them to be healed. That's talking about people putting them into office, leadership, ordaining them into office. He's like, wow, you're right. I said, isn't that awesome, man? Hey, listen, I got to go. God loves you so much. So just heal him, and then the lies get broken about the things that he was believing that allowed him to be hurt like that, and that we can't pray for healing and all that stuff. And it doesn't matter, because God's bigger. I don't need people to agree with me. You just need to know who you are and know that there's no motive. I'm not trying to change his church or go in and attack his church or attack their doctrine. I don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. You don't want to try to tell somebody they're wrong and they need to believe your way. If they see enough love coming out of your life, they'll want what you have. And you don't have to convince them. It's amazing. Amen? So that was my experience today. And then we went to Hosses and for outreach. And okay. Let me take you into the Bible. I'm going to start my preach now, Tommy. You got another disc ready? No, I'm just kidding. No, I'm just kidding. Kinda. No, I'm not going to keep you here for long, but I do want to share something. When we were over in Israel, we went to a place. They have a site marked out where they have a church there, and it's the place of the Beatitudes. And then we had a guide that wasn't a paid guide, but he knew everything about the area. And some old timers and some people that grew up in Israel had passed it down, that there's another place where they believe the Beatitudes were spoken. And so we went to this other place, man, and it was amazing. Because we went up there, and this guy sat down there by the top of, it's like the bottom of a mountain. It's overlooking the Sea of Galilee. And it's a big, huge, like, hillside where I went about 4 football fields up and sat on the peak of this, like, natural amphitheater. And he spoke in a regular tone, and I could hear him speak the Beatitudes out. It was crazy. It was like, do you ever stand inside of somewhere that has a circle over your head and you talk and it's like, you can hear it like, I don't know. It's crazy. Like, it's, you can know the sound's different there. Well, that's how it was. So he's speaking and I'm like, gosh, this is the place where it all happened. And I just happened to spend a lot of time in the Beatitudes because it's your attitude of being. It's who you're supposed to be. It's the attitudes. Once you know who you are, once you're walking in your identity, the Beatitudes is your attitudes of being. It's the impossible way of thinking unless you're transformed. Okay? So I just want to read just a little bit in here, if we can. Okay, so if we can go to Matthew 5. Okay. It says in verse 1, it says, "And seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. And when he opened his mouth, he taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Like, I heard someone say this, and I was like, oh my gosh, that's amazing. This thing's all about humility. It's all about being humble. It's all about being very happy because you are something. But it all stems from humility. It all stems from a selfless life, because a selfish life can have none of these things. Do you understand that? So it's a selfless life that has everything. And when you become selfless, you become a shock absorber for a generation. To where when things, it's like, it bounces off of you and you remain steady, you remain faithful, you remain amazing in the midst of every circumstance. So he says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. There's a lot of people hungering and thirsting after a lot of different things. But the Bible says specifically, see in Matthew 6:33, which is on the wall up there, it says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And that dot, dot, dot is, and all these things will be added to you. There's a lot of people that are hungering and thirsting for a lot of different things. Okay? Actually, you can actually hunger and thirst, and you can position yourself to hunger and thirst after gifting. Okay? And it's crazy because even though it says to earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, sometimes the desire to seek spiritual gifts surpasses your desire to seek his righteousness. And you can walk in a gifting and you can be amazingly gifted and you can prophesy and heal the sick and you can be amazing at all these things and not know who you are. And that's really dangerous because that means that I can actually be on the road and pray for everybody, and like a God can heal everybody, and it can be amazing, and I can have testimonies to share with everybody. But when I hang up that phone, I'm done my testimonies, I'm nothing, because I'm condemned, and I'm hurting, and I'm depressed, and I'm angry, and I'm bitter, and I've got all this stuff going on, and all of a sudden, like I need to call somebody to tell them testimonies again, so I feel good about me. But I don't know who I really am, so that when it's just me, I can't be with just me because I'm not comfortable with me. And watch, if I'm not comfortable with me, then I really can't love others because I don't love myself. And then the miracles aren't done out of love, out of sonship. They're done to gain identity. That's a problem. Because if I'm going to pray for somebody, because this can become real works real quick. It really can. Because now I'm doing works and there I'm accepted. And if you don't have a miracle for a couple of days, then you don't have what it takes, dude. You need to do something to perform in order to be again. But if you hunger and thirst for righteousness, God says this. He says, blessed are, happy are those, like to be envied, are those people that pursue righteousness above everything, that they seek it first. Why? Because God says that if you seek it, if you seek your identity and your understanding of who you are in Him and who He is in you, if you seek it, you shall be filled. It's a promise. God says that if you do this, then this is what happens. You shall be filled. And what does filled mean? Filled means keep filling, right? So righteousness is something. It says that, in Romans 1:16, it says, I am not ashamed of this gospel, of the gospel. It says, for it is the power of salvation for them that believe. And it says, first for the Jew and then for the Greek. Then it says, for in it, in what? In the gospel. In the gospel, it means the meat of the gospel, everything in the gospel comes down to this. It is the power of God unto salvation for them that believe, first for the Jew, then for the Greek. For in it, in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. It's so powerful. Listen, I believe this. I don't have any closets. I don't have any hidden stuff. You're not going to read about me. It's just, I don't have any junk, man. And I walk and I live that way everywhere. I don't live any different in my family life, any different when I'm on the road. I spend time with leaders. I don't sit there and laugh at other people at the cost of others. I don't have it in me. It's not in me at all. Because I seek righteousness, and righteousness produces its fruit unto holiness. See, Romans 6 says that righteousness bears its fruit unto holiness. And see, it says that we're a tree of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, right? So our tree that we are, being righteousness, produces holy fruit. And God is well pleased that we bear much fruit. And God says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and everything will be added to you.
Thank you, Todd. Todd White from the School of Power and Life.
Well, the devil's in the phone booth, dialing 911. Here the church is on their knees, and they're loading up the spiritual gun. My whole life has changed since the Lord saved me. I proclaim the mighty name of Jesus Christ to everyone that I see. You know the keys to the kingdom are the secret to success. To loose the Holy Ghost and the Son, the devil's in the phone. Sanctified me, now the Holy Ghost is setting me free from the things of the world that were looking mighty good. The devil lied and said they were fine. Now the devil's in the phone booth, down at 911. Well, the devil's in the phone booth, down at 911. Yeah, the church is on the knees and they're holding up the spiritual gun.
Thank you for flying with Global Airport.